Good afternoon, everybody. Stan Turner here. Thank you very much for your company. We can't do the show without you. And we want to tell you, do not be frightened if you looked up in the sky and saw a big fireball up there, because, folks, you might remember what that was called. You might look in your history book. It's called the sun. We haven't seen that for a long time, Kyle, have we?
No, it's been a little ways.
Been a bit, hasn't it? Wow. Maybe people ought to take a selfie. This is the sun, my son and me, huh? Because it's going to go away again, you know that. But boy, it's nice. I guess we have our white Christmas a day late. Huh?
Yeah,
we got that.
A couple days, yeah.
Yeah, the rooftops look really Christmassy now that it's over. So here we are. I just want to give you a quick look ahead before we get into our show here about the weather is a big deal, of course. You just heard the immediate forecast. Let's jump ahead, and I realize this is the early line. Things are subject to change, but how about New Year's Eve? That would be next to Wednesday night. Right? Partly cloudy in the Twin Cities with a low, New Year's Eve, Happy New Year, of 6 above zero. On New Year's Day itself, Thursday, partly sunny, a high of only near 18 degrees, but there is no mention of snow in the forecast for either New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. All that, of course, subject to change, and it probably will.
About
you never know.
Times.
Yeah, it is, right, Kyle? How have you been, sir?
I am wonderful.
By whose account? Mine, certainly. I think you are.
Well, thank you. No, it was definitely nice to see some snow on the ground.
Right.
It's terrible to drive in.
Yeah, it wasn't very good last night. Boy, it turned ugly real fast, really greasy. I saw some cars in the ditch early in the evening, and wow. So, okay, I think our friends from MnDOT are out there, and the county snowplow operators are out there blading the road services. But folks, take it easy. There's still an undercoating of ice there. Let's get to it here. 'Tis the time of year to take stock, look back on which people and events shaped our lives in the preceding 12 months. Happy to say that next week on this program, same time, same station, Stephen Scheer will lead our review with a focus on who did what, for whom, and to whom over the course of 2014. Stephen Scheer is an excellent current events tour guide. He's a professor of political science at Carleton College in Northfield. He's possessed of a sharp mind, a vast fund of knowledge. It's amazing how much this guy knows. A fast wit and a sense of humor. You have to have that if you're going to be a political science professor watching government, huh? And his analyses, Steve Scheer's, are much in demand. The New York Times calls on him, the Washington Post, a lot of the TV networks. So he's a big deal and a great guy and a good friend. That's next week, the Year in Review with Stephen Scheer, right here on this program at this time. What about right now? Well, we look back with fondness, with sadness, and gratitude on some of the many local media friends we lost this year. A loss for all of us, really. Their names, and in some cases their faces, will be familiar to many of you. I knew quite a few as fellow journalists and or broadcasters. To help make this work today, we have an extraordinary media man with us in studio this noon. Ah, yes, Tom Osmond is a friend and host of the KLBB program Flashback Twin Cities, which airs following the show on Saturdays right here. We all owe a great deal to Tom. He is what I like to call a Minnesota media archaeologist. Yes, he digs out audio and video from times past and preserves them for us living in the present and for those in the future. Tom's a media historian and archivist whose work really is priceless. Tommy, kind of a high-tech dumpster diver, aren't you?
Yeah,
huh?
Mostly back alleys. And
But you have found things in throwaway places that are precious.
Some of the best things are found places that are in recycled bins or in the free pile. When you drive down the road, you see this free sign. It's an old grill, and then there's some tapes.
Some audio tapes or videotapes of newscasts or local programming past. You focus on local and regional.
Yeah, local, regional. Yeah, it's Minnesota Twin Cities based commercials and news and video. Mm-hmm. And chances are, if you taped a movie at some point in your life, there's a lot of those in the 2 hours of video.
Yeah, so you will get a call, or as you say, you'll be cruising around on maybe a garage sale or a flea market, and there you go. Yep. And,
yeah, found those original Betamax machines a few weeks ago, the kind with dials. You know, the kind with dials.
Okay.
Dials.
Kyle, ever heard of dials?
I don't even know what
that is. Yeah, see, he doesn't.
Okay.
See, beta was a format before. No, yes,
how about a typewriter? Ever heard of? I'll show you a picture someday. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
No, it was a. It was probably, you know, these beta machines were built to last, and they're about as heavy as my car. And I had to drag it with, try to drag this to my car, but found some tapes that are 38 years old. Might have even found some video with Stan Turner on it.
Oh, no.
Possibly.
That should have gone to waste. Just leave it in the dumpster. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you've had good hunting, haven't you? And the more people know about what you're doing, the more they come forward. We should tell folks in real slow cadence your website so people can go there.
TCMediaNow.com.
MediaNow.com.
Contact me there, or you can contact me here at the station. But if you have some tapes or some video that you don't want or you think might have some material that has some local flavor to it, give me a shoot me a message. Even movies you think don't have anything, chances are you probably tape some things you don't know you taped.
Ah, like local newscasts.
Like local newscasts. That.
Okay, from years ago. So, and machinery, too, the old machines
old
you
machinery.
Want, too, don't you?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Tom Osmond, my goodness, you were good enough to compile a list. It's probably a partial list, but I think a fairly complete list of the media people, both broadcast and print. We've lost this year, and it's staggering. It's astounding. It's just
too many names.
It's so sad, and in a way depressing too. So many good people gone.
But some long careers, though. I mean, looking at this one right here.
Let's talk about Bob Ryan, a guy I knew very well. Of course, he and I worked at Channel 5 for a long time. Bob got there considerably before me, but he was one of my idols, no doubt about it. Bob Ryan began KSTP in 1948, just on the dawn of local television in particular, I guess, nationwide. That began in 1948, a 23-year career for Bob Ryan in KSTP radio and TV. He was a beloved figure. He was the anchor on the 6 o'clock news on Channel 5. Those are the days, mostly, when he started there, where it was just one newscaster. There was none of this co-anchor stuff. So at the top of the hour, say at 6 o'clock, it would be Bob Ryan and the news for about, subtracting commercial time, about 15 minutes. He would sign up. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for your company was his sign-off. Just a great guy. He was called popular newscaster Bob Ryan, which he was. So he would finish his 12 or 15 minutes of news and sign off and then go to commercial, and the weather would come on next. Johnny Morris or Jimmy Valentine on Channel 5, they would do their weather thing. And they would sign off, go to commercial break, and then the sports came on. Al Tye or Dick Nesbitt before him. And so that's the way these were compartmentalized segments, were they not, in that half hour?
And in fact, I did not know. Son of W.D. Rosie Ryan, a pitcher in 3 consecutive World Series.
His father, Bob Ryan's father, Rosie. That's right. Say that again. He was in 3 consecutive World Series for
the New York
Giants. And Rosie settled in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and coached baseball there for many years. Bob, of course, very proud of his father, Rosie. So, and Bob served in World War II in the Marine Corps in the Pacific. In the newsroom, Bob rarely talked about it. Typical of the greatest generation. When you were in the Marine Corps in the Pacific, you were in the middle of the bad stuff, and he rarely mentioned anything about it, even in the course of a story that dealt with maybe in passing some Marine figure or some combat soldier who happened to be in a news story. But he just, you know, again, I think the whole thing is so painful that you just wanted to forget about it, but what a great guy.
And what fascinates me is this was a period of time where TV was, I think, what internet broadcasting is today. Mm-hmm. It was very experimental.
It was.
People thought that Hubbards were crazy for buying the first TV camera. Mm-hmm. They were a radio family. They'd bought the first TV camera available from RCA, one of the first network affiliates of NBC. Mm-hmm. And what do you do with this new toy you bought, which is called TV? Mm-hmm. And do you put a news product on, which in those days was heavily sponsored? Channel 4 did Tasty Bread News, and it was more or less almost a piece to show a commercial on, and then
it
became a public service.
Even on the network, CBS News with John Cameron Swayze and your Camel cigarette caravan of news. selling Camel cigarettes to the news viewers. That, you're right. That's exactly. And that was done on the local level here, too. Mm-hmm. We need to hear Bob Ryan. Do we have a clip or two that we can play? Bob Ryan, of course, known best for KSTP. And here's Robert.
Bob Ryan, Skip Nelson, KSTP News, reporting from the minesweeper, Na Be, South Vietnam.
When Skip Nelson and I covered the war in Vietnam 3 different years, we were the first to go out there.
Good morning, I'm Bob Ryan, KROC News.
Bob Ryan, and we're hearing him in Rochester now. Can we bring that up?
This is my last regular news program after 43 years of broadcasting news in Minnesota.
I want to thank you, our audience, for being so loyal to me, and I wish you all the very best of everything. This is Bob Ryan, Minnesota News Network.
And, Bobby, we're going to miss you just absolutely. You know, Christmas cards, he and I have exchanged Christmas cards over the years, and, you know, I knew one would not be coming this year. Bob passed away in April of this year, April 28th, age 89, just 1 month shy of his 90th birthday. We heard a piece there where Bob was reporting, Tom, I think, overseas.
From Vietnam.
Yep, Vietnam. He was three times in Southeast Asia to report on the Vietnam War. He was in Korea, too, in the Philippines. He interviewed Ferdinand Marcos, whose wife had a lot of shoes. Remember that?
Yeah.
He went five times to the Middle East. I remember being in the newsroom when he headed out and came back from coverage in the Middle East there. He covered the aftermath of the Six-Day War in 1967 and went to Egypt, went to Greece, went all over the place. When he came back and left KSDP to go to Rochester, he did a travel show. And
he did, and it was, he also did a Bob Ryan's Passport. It was kind of a commentary program. Program on KNXR in Rochester. He was at Rochester for about a decade before he went to a place you're familiar with, the Minnesota News Network.
That's right.
He was one of the founding news anchors at the Minnesota News Network when it was down in St. Paul, I believe.
Right, and for those of you who don't know, Minnesota News Network is best known to outstate listeners and stations. There are, I think, 70, 80-plus stations around the state, and it's a broadcast news network for Minnesota news, mostly. Joy Powell did a very nice story about Bob Ryan on his passing last April. Joy wrote of the Star Tribune, by age nine, Bob Ryan had decided to become a broadcaster, often using a wooden stick as a microphone to make believe that he was a radio announcer. At 15, he rode the subway to the 1939 World's Fair in New York, where he saw an invention called television. After that, Ryan focused on his goal and became an award-winning broadcast journalist who roamed the world in a career spanning, well, if you add it all up, Tom, 50 years. How about that?
I have a short clip. This is from when Bob was first at the Minnesota News Network. You want to hear it?
Sure, let's do
this. Okay, I got this on the computer here.
Okay.
He was one of the first faces we ever saw on television here in the Twin Cities. Bob Ryan was the eyes, ears, and voice for KSTP-TV's news for 23 years. And in that time, he helped to break new ground in an industry that was just getting started.
In the old days, we were always an offshoot of something else. We'd been print media people, or we had been radio people, or even advertising people. It came in various sources, but they didn't come in trained in television news. We had to get our training, and it was pretty crude and kind of tough, but we made our way. It was a start.
Ryan's career took him to places where local television stations had never been before. The Far East, Europe, and Vietnam, just to name a few of the stops.
Yeah, that's just a few, right. I think I recognize that voice during the narration. That's Barry the Peekaboo Weatherman right there.
Hmm? That is Barry's scrapbook, right, and that is Bob Ryan, yes.
Well, Bob Ryan, fondly missed. Thank you, Bob, for the memories, all the news interpretation, the analyses, the commentary, the friendship. Bob was a gentleman's gentleman. He was a heck of a cut-up in the newsroom, too. He had a great sense of humor, kind of a devilish sense of humor. We used to take his news scripts and insert phony stories in them. You know, he'd do the read-through before he went on the air, and he would just absolutely break up and almost fall off his chair.
He had a good sense of humor.
Absolutely. Oh, he was a jokester, really. He was a fun guy. He never showed that on the air, but he was easy to break up on the air, too. I'm not going to go into details how he did that, but it happened a couple of times. What a great guy. We've spent a little extra time on Bob Ryan because he was such an institution around here for so many years.
Yeah, viewers like us who had seen Bob Ryan before. Before, what I'd say, the team approach of news came with everyone joking and smiling on air.
Right.
You always kind of assumed everyone was very stodgy off air. Not that Bob came across as stiff, but you never really imagined these guys having, whether it be Huntley, Brinkley, to having sense of humor or personalities outside of news. So it's always great to hear that these guys actually were just as much fun as anyone else was.
He was especially a lot of fun the day after St. Patrick's Day. Bob being a good Irishman, he'd go out and taste the grape a little bit and come out.
Well,
but he never did anything untoward. He just knew how to have fun, and that was lovely. And he gave us so much joy, too. Thank you. Okay, let's move along here. Dan Donovan. Oh, my goodness. We lost this great broadcaster. This past August, Dan Donovan was age 73, made his mark locally here, KS95 FM. Graham, then went to Cool, where he was showed his chops as a real expert on pop music. Not only would he play the songs for you by your favorite artist, but he would give you the backstories, a lot of it drawn from his own personal knowledge of the stars and the recordings themselves. Something we do here on the All Request and Dedication program on KLBB, Monday through Friday, noon to 2. People love the backstories, and Dan was a master at doing that. He was one of the first to do it.
Called himself the Geezer.
The Geezer, because he'd been in the business so long. The Golden Geezer, a good-looking guy. He could have done TV, but he was a well-traveled radio guy, wasn't he? Yeah. He was all over the map going back. He was from Philadelphia, wasn't he?
Yeah, started that. He was in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Later went to in York, Pennsylvania, went to Penn State, went to Rhode Island, and then he came here in 1979 to do this new FM radio, Minneapolis, St. Paul. It started called KS95, where it's always 95 and sunny.
Sunny, yeah, that was a great logo and a great great motto or watchword. Yeah, came to KSTP 94.5 in 1979, stayed quite a while, then went over to Cool, where he was right at home with the oldies format too. And I think he had a lot of fun there. He did something on Sunday mornings I always liked. Heading into church, he used to do the oldies with the background stories. Right. Having a ball. I think maybe it was not live. He might have recorded it during the week, but it was absolutely brimful of information, interesting stuff.
There's some great photos. If you go to the Pavitt Museum website, which is museumofbroadcasting.org, there's pictures of Dan Donovan with John Lennon, with a lot of these very legendary rockers. And Dan's just there interviewing them, and he's a guy who had lots of stories. You know, I met him at the induction ceremony back in 2007, and I, you know, asked him a couple of questions about his past, and he could just rattle off names, places, faces.
Well, concerts. He was there. One of the stations he worked at, an AM station in Philadelphia, WFIL, and guess what? Dick Clark was on WFIL television, where he launched American Bandstand, that went network, went nationwide. So I'm guessing that, I didn't know this, Dan worked in the same building I did, and we'd see each other, and we were good friends. Didn't see each other too often, but I'm sure Dan Donovan must have crossed paths with Dick Clark from time to time. So he was kind of present at the creation of rock and roll there, at least in the late 50s.
Hmm? Should we listen to some Dan Donovan?
Let's hear Dan.
Good. No.
Donovan on the Donovan Deviation, Friday afternoon, heading toward the weekend at KSTP-FM. Couple of items here that Pete missed on the news. This is really interesting. In an unprecedented political maneuver, St. Paul has traded Mayor George Latimer to Minneapolis for a clerk typist, 3 bus wheels, and 30 feet of sewer pipe. And you would have to think that George would have been worth more than that. The results of a 5-year study today by the FBI released in Washington indicating that Ronald McDonald is really retired Teamster president Jimmy Hoffa.
That's where he went.
Hope to have more on that later. In response to a proposed new city ordinance that would levy an extra tax on all dentists and carpenters, a group of Minneapolis dentists and carpenters have banded together to fight the proposal tooth and nail.
Oh, Danny.
I'm sure you're groaning and booing.
The king of bad puns, Dan Donovan there. Oh, that's vintage Donovan. When he was on KS95, he was the afternoon drive time jock, which put him opposite Steve Cannon, the juggernaut on CCO AM, which was a very big station back then. So Cannon called his show the Cannon Mess, so Donovan called his the Donovan Disaster. He called it something else there earlier in that clip we heard, but he settled on Donovan Disaster.
The Donovan Deviation.
Deviation, yeah.
Well, it's important to note that while Cannon may have been number one, a close second was KS95.
Right,
they came
second
in all demographics.
Absolutely right. That was a very, very big... go ahead.
Blaine Harvey was his name.
That's right.
Blaine Harvey.
Dan Donovan's Blaine Harvey. That's right. A well-traveled radio guy. We're going to miss him, Dan. Thanks for the memories. Gone at the age of 73.
We have one clip from his days at KQQL, Cool 108, as it was called at the time.
Let's listen to Dan. It's Cool.
All right, I'll give you the question first, and I'll read you the kid's answer. Name the 4 seasons. The answer is salt, pepper, mustard, and vinegar. okay. Explain one of the processes by which water can be made safe to drink. And the answer is flirtation makes water safe. Flirtation to drink because it removes large pollutants like grit, sand, dead sheep, and canoeists. How is dew formed? The sun shines down on the leaves and makes them perspire. How can you delay milk turning sour?
It says, keep it in the cow.
All right, Danny.
Well, you know.
A taste of Dan Donovan. We'll miss him greatly. Gone this past August after a lot of years here in the Twin Cities, a lot of years of fine broadcasting brought us a lot of enjoyment. I think we're going to take a break here, Kyle. Let's hear from some of our wonderful sponsors. We'll come back with Tom Osmond and our year in review for all the media folks, our good friends we lost. Right back. At the Stan Turner Show, we love good stories, and there's no better place to find them than Valley Bookseller in downtown Stillwater. Valley Bookseller is an independent bookstore with knowledgeable and friendly staff who love books. Tell them what you like to read, and they'll make terrific recommendations just for you. Also, discover one of the finest children's collections in the entire Twin Cities. Valley Bookseller, great books, great people. 217 North Main in Stillwater. Online at valleybookseller.com.
At Jaime's Haberdashery, men never sacrifice fashion for weather. So no matter how cold it gets, you can still spot a Jaime's man by his impeccable taste and the confidence that only comes from a hot lather shave. Jaime's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Create a look that's uniquely yours with tailored suits, overcoats, hats, and accessories that make winter blush and at prices that won't melt your wallet. Jaime's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street, in downtown St. Paul. Online at Jaime's.com.
You finally found it, that old photograph of your grandmother that you've always wanted to share with your grandchildren, but it's torn, cracked, and faded. Well, don't despair. Bring it in to Images of the Past in Stillwater. They specialize in restoring and preserving memories for future generations. So when you bring your old photos to Images of the Past, you can share that beautiful photograph with your grandchildren. You can see examples at klbbradio.com. Keyword, photo. Think of the future, preserve the past. On Main Street in Stillwater at Images of the Past.
Let's face it, as we get older, we start having more and more health concerns. Don't take any chances when it comes to skin cancer. If you have any concerns, call Advanced Dermatology Care. They are kind and caring and have decades of experience. With skin cancer, it is important to catch it early. And Advanced Dermatology Care has clinics close to you in Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Forest Lake. So there's no reason for delays. Call today and set up an appointment. The number is 651-484-2724. That's 651-484-2724.
We are back here. Stan Turner with you. Thank you so much for your company. We're in league with Tom Osmond today as we look back with, as I said at the outset here, fondness, sadness, and gratitude. Some of the many local media friends that we all lost this year. We talked about Bob Ryan, Dan Donovan, we heard, and equal time for the ladies. Sad to say that we lost Grace Lorenzi this past September, age 61. Grace was a voice around these parts to be reckoned with. She could do just about everything, couldn't she?
Too young.
Helicopter reports, to disc jockeying, the whole thing.
Too young to leave us. Yeah, she was September 16th at age 61, and she was at Disco 104, when 104 was a disco station.
A disco station.
Remember disco?
I wonder if she wore white boots and a big chain around her neck when she was on there. I don't know.
And a polyester pantsuit,
I think. Had to be.
But she was one of the first female duos. Then she worked at Metro Traffic Control, and then in the chopper, and then eventually at KS95 exclusively. Mm-hmm. And then she went into the private sector. Well, she went into as a consultant, Whip Incorporated, and the co-founder, CFO, CEO of Fredalone and Associates.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She was a award-winning dancer and a Corvette racer.
My goodness. A well-traveled radio person indeed. Grace Lorenzi had a sweet voice, too. Do we have a clip that we can play?
We do, Kyle.
Okay, let's hear Grace Lorenzi.
KFMX, Alicia Bridges in Body Heat 353 with DeMaroni, Thompson, and Lorenzi out of the pain reliever this afternoon. Hello.
Hello. Speaking of body heat, there are quite a little bit of people here, and they're working up a sweat on the dance floor. Is everybody out there having a good time already, Gary?
I feel a lot better, Gracie. I just want to ask you one thing. Where this parade we're supposed to be in today, when does that start?
Oh, that was yesterday.
Okay, fine. Let me tell you, a lot of hearty souls down here. I'm surprised to see so many people this early. I know I had a hard time dragging myself out of bed at 11 this morning. But the Sunday Disco Matinee, every Sunday is fun at the Pain Reliever. We have free dance lessons.
Free hors d'oeuvres.
Yes, there are some hors d'oeuvres up there. You can come and fill your stomach with some good food.
And just a real fun crowd. If you're worried about clothes, don't worry. Put on a nice pair of jeans, nothing too sleazy, you know, and a nice top. Come on down and join us.
Real relaxed dress code. Wear whatever you feel comfortable in and come on out and have a good time. There's a game room, there's a dance floor, and we're here, and we'd love to have you come out and say hi. So the Fanny Lever, this is Grace Lorenzi.
And I'm Pete Thompson.
Amazing Grace Lorenzi right there. I thought that guy would never let her in there to get on the air. My God. Talk, talk, yak, yak, yak. Let Grace on the air. She was so much fun.
Don't worry about clothes, they say. Just
well,
come on down and...
you know what the pain reliever was? That was a strip club on Payne Avenue on the east side of St. Paul. You knew that. You didn't know that, did you? Yes, it was. We won't go into detail.
I was a little going to go to the pain reliever at that point.
Young's got nothing to do with it. It was what it was. Anyway, Grace was there, suitably clothed, no doubt, I'm sure. Grace Lorenzi, sad to say, she left us this year and with a fine legacy indeed. 12:31 right now in the Twin Cities. What do we have? We have 25 degrees, but that's going to fall off to about 20, 21 degrees as we start losing ground. Round in the temperature department, we're going to settle into some cold weather for the next couple of days. So here we go. We've had a pretty good ride lately. Another big name, fond name that we lost this past year belonged to a guy named Roger Kent. Roger Vogel, R-O-D-G-E-R. Not only a broadcaster of long standing going back to the 1940s, I think he served in World War II or was about to go in when the war ended, but Roger will be a... known to many of you for his stint in the wrestling ring around here. He and Marty O'Neill. He was a ring announcer, wasn't he, Tom?
He did about everything. He was an announcer at WDGY. He was 5 years at KSDP as the morning show host. He was on KSDP-TV hosting the first local television disc jockey show at the midnight time following the Tonight Show. He worked at CCO for 3 years before joining WTCN Radio and TV as an announcer, newscaster, and meteorologist. He hosted Outdoor Funland, which aired on Channel 11 until 1969, and he also called WTCN wrestling matches at Channel 11 and the country for 25 years.
My goodness, and don't forget, he also worked at a place called KLBB. Yes, the station right here in the Twin Cities. Roger Kent had one of those voices you could hear three counties away. He did not need a microphone or an amplifier, no doubt about it.
I have a little montage of Roger if you want to hear.
Let's listen to Roger Kent here, okay?
It's Outdoor Funland with Roger Kent.
Well, tonight we've got some treats for you. Believe you me, we've got some pheasants and some quail, then the Ten Commandments of Shooting. This is a booklet on CH shell reloading procedures, all types of shells. It's a lot of information in here for you. It's normally 25 cents. It doesn't cost you a cotton-picking penny tonight. If you just send your name to Guns, WTCN-TV, Minneapolis 16, Minnesota. Guns, WTCN-TV, Minneapolis 16, Minnesota, will send you a free booklet.
Bear hug by the Batman from Cuba. On the ropes, gouges away at Fez. Fez goes with a side headlock. Let's him have one of the chops. Another side headlock. And, oh, thrown off. And overwhelms the Cuban. 2-3. And that took care of Batman Jose Quintero.
Canada, England, Germany, Australia, Mexico, Poland, Japan, the greatest professional wrestlers from throughout the world. And now to the ring for all-star action.
And before I draw it down to Roger Kent, can you believe it? Today in our studios, we have the Roger Kent Fan Club. That's it. How about that, Roger? Take it away, Ed Mitchell.
Okay. Roger Kent. He called himself Old and Bent Roger Kent there, the loudest voice in broadcasting, but boy, did he have fun, and we had fun watching and listening to him, too, didn't we?
You know, I was amazed by the kind of TV shows that were on in this age. I found this gun show, the Ten Commandments of Guns. I found a tape recently and popped it in. It was from about 1978, 79. It was a half-hour show about making model trains. Now, it was a simpler era. We could just
I'd watch it.
I didn't say I did not watch it. I watched it, but
okay.
The things that we mm-hmm. were satisfied with
that. That's true. Yeah. That's a very fair and very astute observation, because it didn't take any gimmickry. It's
no.
just something of a literal thing, like train, model trains, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. You know, I have a feeling today people would still watch that if we put it in front of them. What do you think?
I think you make a good product, people will watch it.
Roger Kent, by the way, a lot of people didn't know, and how could they, that he was a chiropractor. Yes, he was a chiropractor. And this came in handy when he was doing blow-by-blow, play-by-play of those inside the wrestling ring, these great big lugs, and they're throwing each other around. He said, if I got a... He could draw on his knowledge of chiropractic and the terms used in chiropractic. He said, if a guy got his head slapped in the back in the ring, I would say he just got his occipital protuberance smashed into the mat. Huh? Isn't that nice? Really sounds learned, doesn't it, Tom? Roger Kent, broken and bent, old and bent, he called himself, Roger Kent. I believe he settled after his broadcast career up in northern Minnesota, the tiny town of Cook. He was aged 90 when he passed away just last month, late in the month. So Roger Kent finally remembered, huh?
That is correct.
Okay. We have many others here we're going to go through, too. We'll get to a break here in a minute, but let's talk about this wonderful fellow whose first, middle, and last name really was Jazz, Lay Kamen, a real broadcast fixture here in the Twin Cities area, but, of course, elsewhere, too. We say, of course, because a lot of people nationwide knew this guy, including Duke Ellington and Ella Fitzgerald. This guy, Lay Kamen, passed away this October the 17th of this year, age 92. He'd been on the air here in recent years on Minnesota Public Radio with his jazz, the jazz image.
You know, a great show on NPR, and some of the shows that I think really crossed generations, and he really had a great, a stout persona about him to get, you know, people interested in jazz. I do have a little sound clip of him doing his show here at NPR.
Oh, great. Let's hear Lay Kamen.
It was the music of the day in the American idiom. There was something magical about it.
From practically the headwaters of the Mississippi, welcome to Mississippi Jazz, or Mill City style as we call it. The Mendota Buzzards preside here, and here they are opening things up for something very special till we meet again. This is music from Fitzsimmons with the Bounce Battalion. It's 6 o'clock Saturday evening, and it's time to welcome you once again to the stage of the Post Theater at Fitzsimmons General Hospital in Denver, Colorado. Our theme is your invitation to join us for Music from Fitzsimmons.
We're going to go to Don in Minneapolis. Hi, Don.
You want to hear the imitation of Lay Kamen?
Absolutely.
The tones of Charlie Mingus. The consummate consanguinity of tapestry.
Okay. Right. Somebody trying to do Lay Kamen. You know, those cuts you brought in here, didn't often hear Lay in an upbeat kind of outgoing, kind of in-your-face, in-your-ear thing, but he could do that when he needed to. He was normally the mellow-voiced, low-key kind of guy on the air around here with his jazz show.
Much like Donovan, he was from East Coast, yep. East Coast, came back to Minnesota, but he was at WOV in New York, where he broadcast live at WOV from a studio in a ballroom. At the Palm Hotel in Harlem.
That's right.
Came to WLO in 1956 and joined KSCP, where he premiered Ella Fitzgerald's rendition of Mac the Knife on his program Image from the 60s. He did the jazz image from 1973 to 2007 when he retired.
I remember, I knew Lay Kamen. We didn't bounce into each other very often, but what a gentleman he was. Obviously steeped in jazz idiom, but he knew music right across the board. There wasn't much about music he didn't know. I remember as a kid going to Southdale Shopping Center, and in those days he was broadcasting live from a booth. He called Under the Golden Tree at Southdale. He'd be doing his show live with his engineer sitting next to him there. And I had my nose pressed up against the glass, wondering, boy, I wonder if I'd have the courage or the ability or the talent to do that someday. But he was such a nice guy. He'd come out of the booth and chat with me, and it was just a big thrill.
Some consider jazz America's only original art form.
Well, I think it is. That's true. Absolutely. And nobody knew that better or practiced it more than Lay Kamen. I believe he and Bob Protzman, late of the St. Paul newspapers, are the only two non-musicians who have been inducted into the Minnesota Jazz Hall of Fame. A very high honor.
What a feat.
Tom Osmond, what say we take a break here again? Let's take our last commercial break and come back with remembering more of our wonderful friends from broadcasting and print right after this.
At the Stan Turner Show, we love good stories, and there's no better place to find them than Valley Bookseller in downtown Stillwater. Valley Bookseller is an independent bookstore with knowledgeable and friendly staff who love books. Tell them what you like to read, and they'll make terrific recommendations just for you. Also, discover one of the finest children's collections in the entire Twin Cities. Valley Bookseller. Great books, great people. 217 North Main in Stillwater. Online at valleybookseller.com.
They've been sitting on that shelf for years. Those special memories of your childhood on slides, videotapes, or 8mm film. You want to share them, but you don't have a way to do it. Well, now is the time to let Images of the Past do it for you, and you'll have those special memories to share during the holidays. Images of the Past can transfer your memories to DVD to be enjoyed anytime by the whole family. Think of the future, preserve the past. On Main Street in Stillwater at Images of the Past. And at imagesofthepast.com.
Another virus? Relax. At Computer Repair and Services, every repair costs $99.95 and nothing more. Whether we spend 1 hour or 3 days, repairing your PC is always $99.95. I'm Joe Gillette. Visit Computer Repair and Services at 1441 Stillwater Boulevard or call us at 651-439-7544. It's just $99.95 for every PC repair, excluding hardware. At Computer Repair and Services, you can afford to fix your PC.
At Jaime's Haberdashery, men never sacrifice fashion for weather. So no matter how cold it gets, you can still spot a Jaime's man by his impeccable taste and the confidence that only comes from a hot lather shave. Jaime's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Create a look that's uniquely yours with tailored suits, overcoats, hats, and accessories that make winter blush and at prices that won't melt your wallet. Jaime's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street in downtown St. Paul. Online at jaimes.com.
We are back here, Stan Turner with you. Thank you so much for coming along for the ride today, looking back on, a year that saw some big losses in the media field here. A lot of them were our friends. You knew them. If you didn't know them personally, you surely knew them by their voices, by their faces in some cases, and by their contributions to trying to inform and entertain all of us. And boy, they did a good job. You know, not always are these people in front of the camera or in front of the microphone. Tom Osmond is with me here, a man who knows lots about the history of broadcasting in the Twin Cities area and beyond. And in a TV newsroom, Tom Osmond, you know, it is a huge team effort. The people out front, like we are, you know, the anchors or the reporters, those people get too much of the recognition. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't even go on the air without the likes of photographers, editors, producers, dispatchers. You name it. It just takes a big team to do it, and they're unsung heroes, to say the least.
No, I think you'd agree that there's a lot of, in order to make a good product, you need a lot of people behind you, and you're only as good as your crew, and your crew can make or break you. And I've been fortunate enough to sit at a table a couple times at the Patrick Museum dinners with some Channel 5 pioneers, as they call them. There was some, Bob Ryan was one of them, but a lot of audio technicians, directors, photographers. And I think that Russ Brown is one that I think you'd agree it was quite a brought a lot to the legacy of Hubbard Broadcasting.
Well, 100% agree. Russ was not only a fine cinematographer, a photographer, an editor, he was a fine newsman. A photographer, a producer, editor, anybody in the newsroom has to be an extraordinary reporter to do his or her job well. You have to understand the story, not just the obvious story, but the nuances and all the rest. Russ Brown was a master at this. Russ was most always a photographer for Channel 5. We lost him this past August. He had battled cancer for a long time. He was 64. Russ started at KSTP-TV in 1972. He and I went out on many a story together. And you have to realize, these photographers, it's changing now probably, but the sheer weight, the poundage of their gear when they were alone, say going to a breaking story, a big fire, something like that. First of all, they're going into a mob scene. You know, there are firemen, cops all over the place. Somehow they have to find a place to dump their car, get all the gear out. The cameras are very heavy, in some cases portable lights and all that. And my goodness, the toll it takes on your body is fast, unbelievable. We just don't know. When I'd go out with Russ as a reporter, he would, as most photographers would do, he'd hand me the tripod to carry, which was the heavier piece of gear, but he was lugging the other stuff, too. So I got a feel for what these men and women, a lot of women photographers, too.
You think about it. I mean Russ went from the day of film where you actually developed your own film every day in a lab
station. At the station,
doing videotape, which actually the early video was one of the heaviest, bulkiest, most awkward equipment ever invented. It was useful because you didn't have to develop it, but it was just heavy as heck. And also, if you're covering a fire, or if you're out in the winter, your equipment is sensitive to heat and cold. Film could be burning and melting, and just a lot of there's a lot of unsung challenge that goes with being a photographer.
Absolutely. These, again, I will say it, these are the unsung heroes and heroines of TV news for sure. I like what Joe Caffrey, my friend, who is the KSTP-TV chief photographer, said on Russ's passing. He had such a big heart, a huge heart. He was always one of the first ones here and the last ones to leave. He loved the TV news business. He really did. Sad to say, I missed Russ. He was very, very ill at Jason Davis's retirement party last spring in St. Paul. I arrived just after Russ had left, and he wasn't doing very well. We knew he didn't have much time, but just nothing but fond memories of a real pro and a real sweetheart of a human being.
Covered things from Watergate to the collapse of the 3rd Fifth Avenue Bridge, a 42-year career.
Pretty amazing. Russ Brown, Channel 5 News photographer. 12:46 right now, folks, in the Twin Cities. Let's see, we're on a free fall temperature wise here today. 25 degrees when we started the show at noon, and dropping down to around 20 by the time we get done with the afternoon and get ready for some more colder temperatures. Let's go on to somebody, a lot of you Wisconsin listeners, a person you will know and remember fondly, Mike Simonson, who again was a personal friend. I've been rich in friendships in this business over the years, and Mike Simonson died suddenly this past year of a massive heart attack. It is said that Mike had a big heart. He was a big guy. He was probably around 300 pounds. It probably didn't help his prognosis, but what a sweet guy. A man who was in love with journalism and history. He worked for Wisconsin Public Radio out of Superior, Wisconsin, there at the University of Wisconsin Superior. And from time to time, I'd have Mike on this Saturday show, and he was up to some interesting documentaries. He did an award winner on Richard Bong, who came from Poplar, Wisconsin, near Superior, Wisconsin. Bong was the top scoring U.S. fighter ace in World War II. He was killed shortly after World War II. His family, many of them, remain there, and Mike thought it would be fitting and proper to do a documentary about this kind of hometown boy up there. And he won an award. He won a couple of big awards for it in the last few years. Mike Simonson richly deserved that. And Mike also took on that other big story up in that part of the world, the sinking of the ore freighter, the Edmund Fitzgerald, which went down in the mid-1975, in November, the gales of November. Many documentaries have been done about the Edmund Fitzgerald, but none as good as Mike Simonson. And here's what Mike put together in his award-winning documentary on the Edmund Fitz.
The SS Edmund Fitzgerald was launched in the summer of 1958 at 729 feet, the largest ore carrier on the Great Lakes and the flagship of the Columbia Shipping Lines. She would set speed and cargo hauling records with her 7,000-horse steam turbine, pushing her through the Great Lakes at a clip faster than any ore carrier in service. And she would be the last disaster on the Great Lakes, a ship that went down with all hands, without warning, without a distress call, without witnesses, without survivors, and without knowing why. Good evening. I'm Mike Simonson. Welcome to We're Holding Our
Own. Mike Simonson of Wisconsin Public Radio, doing what he did best and loved to do most, and that is doing stories that really was an intersection of journalism and history, and none did it better than Mike Simonson.
You have to have a passion for doing these stories, because I imagine, and you can relate to this, for as much death and much despair as you cover during a career, it can harden your heart, but you have to have a passion to be able to continue to do it.
Mike had that in spades. By the way, and I'll tell you how much passion he had, Tom Osmond, when NASA astronaut and Wisconsin native Colonel Jeffrey Williams was launched into space from Kazakhstan, that's a far, far, far away place, Mike was so intent on covering the story that he flew to that remote Central Asian nation at his own expense to be there.
Not many would do that.
That's passion, Mr. Osmond.
Own expense.
No, own expense. Rest in peace, Mike Simonson. What a great guy. What a great friend. What a great contributor to our knowledge. Boy, terrific. We being a broadcast entity here, Tom, you and I have been concentrating on those in the broadcast field we've lost this past year, but there were a lot of fine people in the printed field, too. Jim Ragsdale, of course, one of the fine reporters, a Star Tribune reporter, with the Pioneer Press before that. His beat in the later years was the Capitol, state capitol beat, and what a great reporter he was. At his funeral recently, the likes of the governor of the state of Minnesota, both sides of the political fence, showed up and sang his praises, as well they should, because Mike was scrupulously impartial and fair and beloved by everybody. He's what gives journalism a good name.
And if I read correctly, even not only left and right, but middle was actually at the funeral. Was it not our former Governor James Janos at that funeral?
That's right. The guy you called Janos, I think he called himself Ventura. He was there too. Yes, even the so-called independence candidate was there. Just another measure of how beloved and respected Jim Ragsdale. We called him Rags, and that's the beat I had for many years, not as a print reporter, but as a TV news reporter for Channel 5. That is a daunting beat. There's so much going on, so many moving parts up there, and everything our lawgivers do up there. That's what Jim Klobuchar used to call them, not lawmakers, but lawgivers. It affects us. Everything they pass up there has, to some degree or another, an impact on our lives. So that's one of the prime beats, as we call it in journalism. That's where you want to be if you want to be where the action is. Jim was right in the middle of it, Jim Ragsdale, and he did one fine job.
You cover the beat, and I have tons of video every year because this is always, it's always the worst, most contentious legislation ever. Every 2 years, it's never been one worse than this. And then we think, oh, okay, well, then the next one we find that it can actually be worse. The fact that he covered that, and he covered the Ventura administration, which was, at least from a politics, was a tough one to cover because it was always everywhere. It was comedic. It was a little bit contentious to the press in general.
I think it was low comedy, if you want to know.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, say what you want about some of our left or right politicians, mm-hmm. they at least understand that you got to have the press there. I don't think that our former governor really understood the idea that the press got to be there.
They're all a bunch of jackals. Well, you know what? He actually played the media like a banjo. And you know what? I'm going to say this. The media allowed him to play them like a banjo, too. They just let him roll over.
They never did ask him a tough question, did they?
Some did.
Some did.
Yep.
And also the Red Lake school shootings, which was a major story back
then. Jim Ragsdale covered this.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Rags, rest in peace. Thank you for the memories. Thank you for the contributions. Others, Andy Driscoll. Andy did both. He straddled the worlds of broadcasting and print in later recent years here. He wrote for the Highland Villager, which is a tabloid. It's primarily in St. Paul, but does get across the river into Minneapolis. I think it's a fine tabloid.
Oh, I agree.
Excellent articles. Excellent reporters. And Andy wrote a column for them and did lots of reporting, but he was also on the air at KFAI. You can tell us what that's all about, Tom.
KFAI, that is, sorry, I lost my page here.
There's no losing pages on the show, Tom. You know better than that. It's a public affairs show, right? And it's called Truth to Tell, I think, right?
Truth to Tell. Yeah. And then, unfortunately, he was also, he did a documentary at KTCA called Power Play, which mm-hmm. he won a Columbia DuPont Award mm-hmm. for. So he had actually spanned both the documentary film world and the radio world. Right. He actually did that show on KFEI for a long time. Yep. It was quite popular with a lot of the college students out in Minneapolis.
Andy Driscoll, another guy I knew pretty well. He liked to pop into some of the watering holes around the Cathedral Hill district of St. Paul. He loves St. Paul, like a lot of us do. His brother Kevin is a columnist, or was. I don't know if he still is, on the Highland Villager. So real journalism blood in that family, for sure.
Yeah. Tom Scott, one I want to bring up.
Talk, please do.
Tom Scott, he was a production manager at Channel 11, but also known as Mr. Spinort. Mr. Spinort.
What does that mean in English?
Well, let's see. He was Grandpa Lumpet's gentleman caller, according to Aldo Russia.
I still don't know what this is.
Tom drove a two-cylinder Fiat to work every day. They would roll it right into the studio where he would pick up Granny, played by Lynn Dwyer, and the two of them would drive off together on a date. This was a Channel 11 show for the youngsters.
But
he was at Channel 11 for quite a long time. He unfortunately passed away at age 85 this past winter.
Oh, my. We want to remember Tom Cousins, too. New Tom from WCCO-TV over the years. He joined the staff there to Channel 4 in the Public Relations Department, where he spent the next 38 years. He joined there in 1954. He was a key member of CCO-TV. He was especially loved by Carol Schaubach and Julie Enroth, organizers of the Axel and Carmen Fan Club. And that leads us into the passing of another stellar local media folks.
This one didn't get a lot of press this year, but...
Well, we're going to give it some attention right now. Tell us about this.
I think for probably the baby boom generation, we've had Al Lotsberg on the show a few times.
Yeah.
And I think that Commodore Clancy, the cop, and Al Lotsberg and Don Stoltz and Mary Davies, who played Nurse Carmen.
And we're talking here about Mary Davies.
Mary Davies.
Who passed away this year. Carmen the Nurse. Remember her on TV? A lot of you do.
Died at age 88 this last year. Let's see. Mary, professional rock star on radio, is singing on the Dayton Soda Set Show, a winning effort on Stairway to Stardom, secured a week's engagement on WCCO Radio over the next 3 years. Her enchanting voice and unbridled charm made her a star. In fact, Carmen first appeared with co-star Clellan Card on Axel's Dog in 1954. She went on to host Carmen's Cottage from 1966 to 1977. Lots of years in TV at Channel 4 in those early days of WCCO.
Mother of six children, too, and she was able to combine her many talents as an entertainer with the love and understanding that set the standards for kids' programming. So Mary Davies Orfield was her married name, and she passed away in February, Tom.
I might even have some audio here of Nurse Carmen.
Let's hear
Nurse.
It if we have it.
Yes.
Do you want a friend who's faithful? Do you want a friend who's true? Do you want a friend to tell your secrets and your troubles too? I look down from my window and I see the finest friends that there could ever be. Be a friend to a dog and his tail will start wagging every time he sees you walk down the street.
Lady could sing very, very well.
When WCCO did their 50th anniversary event a few years ago, John Gallus, who was still with us at the time, Al Lotsberg and Mary, they all were in costume at PV Plaza. And you'd think that, and the adults working downtown Minneapolis who had grown up with these, and these are people in their 50s and 60s now, you would have thought that they were in heaven because they were down there and they were doing a little bit of performing. It was really fantastic to see that. And unfortunately, I was a little young to see their show, but... people to see, it's kind of like, you know, Bozo and some of the big cities in the East Coast, and, you know, we had a lot of great kid shows here, which were, whether it be Casey Jones or Commodore or Clellan.
Yeah.
Mary was really part of that, and really, besides, Al Lotsberg might be the last person from that era who's still with us, and Don Stoltz from that
era.
Was
he Willie Ketchum?
He was Willie Ketchum, that's right.
Betty Won't is his wife?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, he's still around. Some of the real pioneers. Bud Crayling is still around, still with us. Huh?
He's 96, and I don't mind saying that.
How much? How old is
96
he?
Years old, still with us. Joyce Lamont's still with us, you know, one of the pioneers of CCR Radio. I believe she might be over 100 right now.
Amazing, amazing people. Really, over 100. My goodness sakes.
I could be incorrect. That someone could call and correct me on that, but I believe she's over 100 years old right now.
Staying power, for sure.
Former KLBB personality, actually.
Absolutely. Well, Tom, you've got a lot of the people we talked about today. They can be heard and seen on your website again.
My website, or even at the Paddock Museum. So you go to museumofbroadcasting.org. A lot of these names are also on the Museum of Broadcasting's website, also at pcmedianow.com. Maybe you have an audio bite, maybe you have a tape, maybe you have some audio you want to share. Always, you can reach me at pcmedianow.com or give me a shout here at the station.
Well, Tom Osmond, thank you very much for joining me on this sentimental journey as we look back on these rather painful losses of these media folks here. But we're grateful for what they gave us. And thanks to websites like yours, continue to give us. They still can give us a lot of pleasure.
Great careers. I mean, think of the number of years of these careers combined that have given us.
I call them inspiring people,
inspiring.
Too, no doubt. Well, you have a show to do here in a minute. What are you going to have today?
I think I might have Stan Turner on my show.
Oh, you're not that hard, are you? My goodness.
We're going to continue the 2014 discussion with some news stories, which was a couple of 2014, some then and now. And
not sure that he knows about much of anything, but give it a try.
We'll try it.
All right. Well, Tom Osmond, thank you very much. Yes, Flashback Twin Cities coming up next year after the break. Kyle, thank you very much. Kyle, I bet you learned a lot about people you never knew about, huh?
But, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Always do.
Pretty rich tapestry here in broadcasting and print, isn't it? We're lucky to live here. We've got some of the best folks in the business, don't we? Okay. Well, folks, have a great weekend. Happy holidays to you. Yeah, a little cold's coming in. We're rid of the snow for a while. So thank you so much, and we'll catch you on the All Request and Dedication program. Come Monday, right after the news at noon, more immediately here, we'll be with Tommy Osmond in just a couple of minutes.